Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Live from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander. Glad that you could join us. Bob Getty taking some vacation time off. Dima Mixon will rejoin us next week. Reagan Grant will be joining me later on in this program to talk about the hire of Charles Huff and the basketball season, where everything stands with Southern Miss and the Sun Belt. We're going to be talking momentarily with Greg Glass, who's one of the co-founders of FanStake, a really innovative idea that we talked about last week on this show. But this reminder that Dickey's Barbecue Pit sponsors the first segment of this program. Look, it's not too late for your football gatherings or New Year's Eve festivities. Dickey's can cater your event, big or small, and big supporters of Southern Miss athletics, and they're going to be with us for another year on this program. We thank Dickey's Barbecue Pit for their continued support of this show and Southern Miss athletics. As we mentioned, Greg Glass is one of the co-founders of FanStake, a company based in Colorado and California. FanStake is a way, and I love America in the way that capitalism and free enterprise comes up with ways to deal with circumstances in every walk of life. And this way, we're talking about NIL deals that fans can actually control to more of an extent money that they put toward particular athletes. And of course, for the purposes of this conversation, we're talking about Southern Miss. Greg, thank you for taking time from your holiday to join us. And as we begin our discussion, the way this kind of works, and I'm just going to kind of set the table a little bit, then we'll put some things on those plates, is that fans can log on to FanStake, which is F-A-N-S-T-A-K-E, FanStake. They can pull Southern Miss up in the search window, and then all the athletes in the transfer portal will come up. And me, as a regular John Q. Public, a ham and egger, who's only got maybe 20 or 25 bucks to give, I can pick what athlete I want to give that money to. And if that athlete winds up going to Southern Miss, then my money will be given to that player. But if that athlete chooses to go somewhere else, I get my money back. Is that the basic crux of it, Greg?
You described it perfectly. Thanks so much for having me on. By the way, I love that term, ham and egger. And that's right. And so, the way FanStake works, it's a competitive recruiting platform. And so Southern Miss fans can go on, and they could say, look, and it's not just transfer portal. It could be current players who might be poached in the portal, right? You could say, I really want to keep our team together, or we need these particular athletes, whether it's right now it's just basketball and football, but we're going to be expanding to other sports, and put down $5, $10, $25, whatever it might be. And the big difference here is that it's contingent, right? So if that athlete ends up on the Southern Miss team, your money will convert into an NIL endorsement deal between FanStake and the athlete. But if they don't, you get your money back. And I think that is the mechanic that's so unique that allows, fans to participate where, today it's been primarily these big boosters, and not all schools have those boosters. And so we're trying to democratize this process a little bit where these schools, a lot of G5 schools and beyond, have great fan bases, but they may not necessarily have the money. And this is a solution to help everyone out here.
But if schools have collectives, like Southern Miss has to the top collective, you just on the surface, you would think that these collectives would be against what you're trying to do because the idea would be that you're competing for the same money. But that's not so in your view.
That's right. In fact, so we've been talking with To the Top Collective, and we're going to look to partner with them. What we're doing is very different. So the vast majority of the collectives, and the analogy I typically use, if you think about political fundraising, you have these super PACs out there that get the big dollars. But then you see all the political fundraisers reaching out to the grassroots fan base. We are that side of it. We are trying to get the grassroots donors out there, and we work together. And so collectives can come on FanStake and either do direct stakes or matching stakes. So they could say, hey, Southern Miss fans, for every $10 you put in, we're going to match with $10 because we have a big anonymous donor who put in, let's say, $100K. And so it allows you to leverage the money you already have in the collective to get more money. And frankly, just from, the average ham and eggers type donor, it's a lot easier to do it where you have more control and you're only contributing if it converts. And that's a piece that's been challenging if you have been given money, but the team isn't necessarily showing anything on the field for it. You want to be able to have a bit more control, and that's one of the elements that is really interesting for fans here, where you get to pick the players that you feel like you really need to come back next year or that you need in the portal to try to make your team better.
But really, to dig deeper here, and you hope this isn't the case, but if there is an instance where there's an athlete that you personally don't like for their political motivations or their activity on and off the court, field, whatever, if you give money to a collective, you don't have any control whether that athlete gets this money. But through FanStake, you can be athlete specific.
That's right. And also it goes both ways, though, right? So if you give money to an athlete that the coach doesn't like, that will never convert. You're going to get your money back because at the end of the day, the coach still has full control and they're going to make the offers they're going to make. But one of the reasons we set it up where it's more free market is frankly, fans have opinions and they might say, we're getting crushed on the offensive line or we need a new center, whatever it might be. And let them put in their dollars and let them talk with other fans and say, guys, let's all get behind this type of athlete because this is what we're missing. And, it speaks loudly to the coaching staff. And so it definitely goes both ways. But you're right in saying, look, the part of the challenge of giving to the collectives is that it's blind. You don't totally know where it goes. But at the same time, the collectives have the coach's ear, and they know exactly what's needed from their perspective. So it does need to be a partnership. And we, have partnered with the Collective Association and have, over a dozen collectives signed on as partners because they're realizing you need to raise everywhere you possibly can to be competitive in 2024 and beyond.
So how does a guy from New Jersey like you get together with a couple of your buddies and come up with this idea?
We're just fans, originally from New Jersey, went to school at College of Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm a big fan of the Cougars and their basketball program. And I also know how hard it is to get and keep talent because we've had some amazing teams and then our players get poached. Which is difficult when you have a few stars. And so, thinking a lot about that, but a lot of us are actually fans of Duke basketball. And what happened was Zion Williamson, a few years back, was considering coming back to Duke when he was the obvious number one draft pick. And we were like, man, like, this would be amazing if we can somehow convince him to come back. And we were thinking about it, like, if we could do a Kickstarter type campaign, there's a chance you could do that if it can really pick up. And that was the genesis for this idea, where we started digging into it. And frankly, at the time, it wasn't possible. But what happened recently, there was a federal injunction in Tennessee against the NCAA that said you can no longer prohibit these athletes from negotiating in advance of selecting a school. And that was essentially the clause that allowed us to move forward with this, where that's all they're really doing. We're just showing athletes, hey, if you go to University X, this is what money is available. If you go to Y, this is what money is available. And that's sort of the free market system that we imagine should happen. It's, you know, the judge in that Tennessee case actually made a great point when he said, can you imagine a coach not knowing what kind of deal they would have once they joined the university or before they joined the university? It's similar with the athletes. They need to know what the opportunity is in front of them. And we're setting up a structure where they can pull that off.
Greg Glass is with us. He's one of the co-founders of FanStake. That's FanStake. And you can get involved in trying to secure a player of your choice, as we've been talking about. Greg, you know, there are a lot of academics, shall we say, out there who think that our country has all this bass ackwards. And now that we're paying athletes, there's nothing you can do about that. This is simply a way that schools, even at smaller levels, can compete with some big brothers, yes?
Yeah, and, you know, I always love to talk about that topic because the NCAA for years and years has generated billions of dollars and the athletes haven't gotten anything. And even today, this is, you know, this is big business. For us to call it amateur athletics is a misconception. This is the second largest league in the world, not just the U.S., college football is second only to the NFL in the U.S. And, you know, our take here is that the athletes deserve a cut and they deserve their fair market value. If there's demand out there for them where they can get whatever the dollar amount is, well, I think they deserve it. They've got 4 years to optimize this unique ability they have. I certainly don't have it. And, you know, our belief is in America, this is part of, you know, democratic capitalism. And we're all for it for the kids. And over time, what you're going to see, and NIL has already shown this, is
Greg, hold that thought, will you? Just a second. We're going to take a commercial break. Reagan Grant's going to join us in the second segment of the program. We'll continue this discussion about FanStake when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Ah, well then.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart. It's right across from the main entrance to Southern Miss, the bright gold building. That building is so bright it almost looks like it runs on batteries, but it is your one-stop shop for all things Southern Miss. The recent graduates, they've got shadow boxes where that diploma can go into, or they've got shot glasses. Anything that can have a Southern Miss logo on it, they've got it for you at Campus Bookmart or online at Campus Bookmart. That's Campus Bookmart with a T. campusbookmart.net, and they'll be able to ship it right to your home. Reagan Grant joining us now in this segment. Reagan and I are going to be talking more about Southern Miss football and basketball in the third and fourth segment, but we continue our discussion with Greg Glass, one of the co-founders of FanStake.com. That's FanStake.com. And Greg, as we continue talking about this innovative concept that you guys have come up with, it's not necessarily just athlete-specific, but sports-specific as well, and we'll give a perfect example. You know, Mississippi State right up the road has a great women's basketball program, but TCU, for example, Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, is doing a great job of raising money for its women's basketball program, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the fascinating things about this. It's not what we expected. And if you were to guess which programs are off to a fast start in which sports, the top of the leaderboard right now is TCU in women's basketball. And, that's what's so unique about this, that you have passionate fans all around the country supporting different teams. And our goal is to roll this out to all sports because we've heard a lot of feedback that it shouldn't just be basketball and football, and we agree. And we want to make sure that everyone can participate. And eventually we'd love to go down to, you know, D2 and D3 and JUCO because we've gotten feedback there as well that there's a lot of fantastic athletes that need support, and it's not just the highest profile. So,
you know,
so far, yeah.
It kind of stinks, though, that if you're like a track and field athlete or a tennis player or a golfer, because those sports just are not under the spotlight as much as the major sports, but they're still athletes and they need a little love as well. But I want to give a shout out here to Southern Miss fans, because Greg is about to tell us that there is a Sunbelt school that is doing really well in Fansteak, and those nasty, rotten Monarchs of Old Dominion are coming forth with some money, aren't they, Greg?
They are. I hate to say it. They certainly are outperforming Southern Miss right now. Old Dominion, JMU. Yeah, there's a few Sunbelt schools that are jumping on this quick, and that's what it's going to take. And frankly, from a business perspective, it's sort of what we expected, too, where the rivalries are a part of it. You know, once you start seeing that your rivals are out recruiting you, you want to make sure that you're competitive. So far, in the Sun Belt, it has been ODU that's taken the lead here.
Now, Reagan's going to get in here in just a minute, but I want to ask you what a potential partnership with the To the Top collective at Southern Miss would look like and how that would work.
Yeah, so essentially, we would allow them to promote Fansteak to their audience and really boost contributions. And so, again, if someone came in and said, all right, I'm going to put $10 on this athlete for Southern Miss, To the Top can come in and say, fantastic, we're going to double that for you. And they also can put the athletes on the platform where they already know from the coaches, these are the guys or gals that we really want to go after. And so they'll say, we're going to do a 2X boost here or a 3X boost, whatever it might be. And they're really just trying to leverage money they already have committed to get more money from the retail fan base of Southern Miss.
Greg, real quick before I turn it over to Reagan, do you find more of the money is coming into Fansteak.com dedicated to securing athletes or keeping existing athletes?
That's actually one of the great misconceptions here, that on both collectives as well as a platform like Fansteak, the vast majority of money is on securing. It's on retaining and protecting the athletes you already have. And what we've talked with over 50 collectives now, about 75% of the dollars typically go to retention. It's a lot easier to keep people there. We talk to the collectives and they know when their kids are getting poached. And so they're just trying to remain competitive. And so right now it's probably about 2-1 in terms of retention versus trying to get transfers. Obviously, with the transfer portal open now, there's a lot more activity there, but we expect it to be more retention focused.
Reagan Grant will join me in the third and fourth segment to talk more specifically about the hire of Charles Huff and activity in the transfer portal, and more about Southern Miss basketball. Reagan, get in here with Greg Glass, co-founder of Fansteak.com.
Hey, Greg. Yeah, I was kind of listening to you break it down, and the wheels got to turning a little bit. This may be getting into the weeds a little bit, but I was wondering, from an athlete standpoint, is the platform set up on a more broad, I guess, spectrum to where, say, you're a center and you've got schools X, Y, and Z raising money to get you, but maybe they're a little too far away from home. Is there a way for these fan bases to maybe pull money for a certain position? So you had mentioned like a center, say Southern Miss needs a center. They pull that money? You know, not everybody knows who the best guy is that we can afford, and that may be something better left to the coaches. But is the platform set up for something like that, or is it strictly you select the player, raise the money, and try to get them here?
Well, there's a lot of advancements coming. Today, you actually can filter it down. If you just go to Fansteak.com and look in the transfer portal, for example, you could say, all right, we're looking for a center and show me the top centers who are left in the transfer portal, whatever it might be. Now, obviously, this is just for football right now, but when basketball comes around, that's how you would approach it. Now, the next step, we have a lot of interesting technology coming. We're introducing AI layers that are going to allow you to say, hey, we're looking for the top centers in this particular region. And the AI can actually tell you also, here's where your team was, you know, had the most strengths. Here's where you had some weaknesses. Here are some of the kids that are currently available that aren't getting the playing time that they need that might be interested. And so we're going to be rolling out a lot of fun technology over the next 6 to 12 months that will help with those decisions. And that's all on us. We've got to figure out a way to surface opportunities to fans so they can then get behind them.
Greg, what happens if the NCAA or Congress or whoever might get involved and try to corral this NIL situation like many have suggested needs to happen? How would that affect a business like FanStake?
Yeah, so FanStake's in a really unique position in that we are fully abiding by all NCAA bylaws, and actually we're fully abiding by the House settlement that is currently in the courts and they're trying to get through. And it's for a few reasons. One is that we're doing authentic NIL deals. And so when we do this, the athlete has to endorse FanStake, and it's essential for us. We're a for-profit business, which is another part that is required by the NCAA, and we need the athletes to promote us to get to more fans. That's our primary marketing channel. The second thing is that it has to be commensurate with market value. And so because we're transparent about the value, that is the market. And so, you know, part of what we're trying to do here is shine a light on how much money are these athletes really worth. And you need supply and demand, and you need transparency, and that's what FanStake does. Then the last thing is we're not associated with a particular university. So they are trying to come down on collectives, which who knows if that's actually going to go through. But because we're fully independent, we're abiding by all the House settlement, variables that they put forward, as well as what the current NCAA has structured. And frankly, our opinion on Congress is that it's going to be really difficult because the NCAA is still an antitrust violation. It's still a group of schools who are colluding to set a salary cap against an audience that hasn't agreed to it, right? And so that's illegal in the United States today, and it's the reason they keep on losing. And so our belief is that it's going to be very difficult for them to maintain that and enshrine it when it's such a blatant antitrust violation.
We have joked on this program about how old college athletes are getting. In fact, Notre Dame last week in one of the playoff games, albeit a kicker, but he was 30 years old. Still playing college football. But, you know, the point can be made if a quarterback, for example, is 27 years old and still playing college football, people would say, well, no NFL team's going to want that guy. He's too old. But if he's already made $8 million playing college football, there would be no need really for him to play pro football. I mean, the original reason would be so that you could hit those big contracts and live high off the hog. You might not be able to live as high off the hog, but I don't think most guys had turned down $8 million over a college career, and it just remains fascinating to me as to where this winds up. But Greg Glass has joined us. He's a co-founder of a FanStake based in Colorado and California. You can go to FanStake, FanStake.com for more information and get out your checkbooks or dollar bills or whatever and help Southern Miss secure or hang on to some great talent, especially with basketball season now going on and baseball right around the corner. Greg, thanks again. Happy New Year to you, and good luck with FanStake.
You as well. Thanks for having me, y'all. This was fun.
All right. When we come back, Reagan Grant and I will talk about Charles Huff. Is it the Thundering Eagles or the Golden Herd? I don't know which, but we'll break that down and talk a little Southern Miss basketball when the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander, along with producer-engineer Jeremy Graves and Reagan Grant. This segment of the program brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. They were open at 5 o'clock yesterday, one of the few establishments that had the presence of mind to open on Christmas Day, for those of you that were sick of your relatives, needed to get away, and maybe go so far as to have a libation to get through what was a long day, but we know a joyous and happy holiday for everybody. 4th Street Bar and Grill will have all of the football playoff games, both in college and in the NFL, and of course, anytime you want to talk Southern Miss sports, there's always somebody there that will be joining in on the conversation. We're glad that they have been with us for such a long time here on the program. Shout out to 4th Street Bar and Grill. Tomorrow on the program, the entire hour with former Southern Miss football coach Steve Buckley. Steve Buckley was the offensive coordinator when Ellis Johnson was the head coach here. We're going to talk about that particular season. We're going to talk about his career. One of the few football coaches who's been successful that's never really played football. You might be surprised at how Steve Buckley kind of got started in the game of football. More recently was at Jones College. Really fascinating conversation. Looking forward to it tomorrow with former Southern Miss coach Steve Buckley. Reagan Grant joins us now. Reagan, lots of things. You know, we were talking in production meeting prior to the show about just how many athletes from Marshall are coming here, but it looks like a large majority, although Liberty, Alabama, A&M, Mississippi State, there have been other schools represented. But by and large, a lot of Marshall athletes, which has some people in Huntington a little bit steamed. But really, my answer to a lot of those fans is, well, you kind of brought this on yourself, right? I mean, they don't have anybody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, and you know, everybody's kind of a hypocrite when it comes to this stuff because, you know, we're all watching them on Twitter just like they're watching us to see who's signing where and all of that, and they are more than happy to welcome in transfers from other schools to Marshall. But, you know, they get mad when we start talking about, oh, my God, we got another guy from Marshall. Well, what are you getting mad about? I mean, it says nothing different about those guys coming to us as the guys that you guys are recruiting to come to Marshall. So I find that part of the conversation kind of funny, just how hypocritical everybody is. You know, it's like when they're coming to us, it's because they're good kids and they're talented and they're going to be great. When they're going to another school, it's because, you know, maybe they had a character issue or they didn't play that much anyway. They weren't that good. So, yeah, they're not having a good time right now.
I want to rewind the tape a little bit, though. You and Destiny Blackwell, who we always consider to be younger alumni go-tos when it comes to what the younger alumni are feeling, because it's no secret that Brother Bob Getty and I are much older, and we remember those air quote good old days of Southern Miss football. So when the coaching search began, you know, you and Destiny were two of the people we wanted to pick the brains of younger alumni. And now that all this smoke has cleared, the dust has settled, whatever cliche you want to use, what about the hiring of Charles Huff? Tell me about what you and I dare say a lot of the younger alumni feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think if we're being honest, I don't think anybody really had a conference peers coach winning a championship or, you know, a conference championship and then coming over here to coach us. I mean, the stars really aligned. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, well, we called that, because nobody saw that coming until kind of the last minute, right? Jeremy McClain saw it a little bit before us, but so I'm not going to take credit for saying, you know, oh, I told you we needed to go get this guy. We haven't played a game yet, but the way things are trending and just on paper, I mean, it is, I don't think we could have made a better hire, you know, and I would imagine had two or three other schools, you know, been looking for a new coach in the Sun Belt, they should have been trying to skip us in line to talk to him. It's just such a weird situation. You know, I think Jeremy talked about that a little bit, how you'll probably never see a scenario like this where they, you know, whatever the reason was, maybe he just didn't get along with administration and he just walked. We didn't have to buy him out. He wasn't failing at a power school. He literally won our conference and the next day he was in Hattiesburg. So I just think it was best case scenario. It's about time we caught a break with the timing of something.
But with all due respect, he wasn't Brandon Marion. You know, who a lot of from UNLV, who a lot of people were pushing. It wasn't Derek Nix. It wasn't, you know, a guy from Southern Miss. whose a lot of those names had been bantied about. But all in all, now everything good. At least
I have not come across anybody, whether it be on social media or, you know, in person. I mean, I had family that, you know, they're Ole Miss supporter, state supporter, whatever, coming up to me. They're like, man, this guy is like killing it in the portal. What a great hire that was. So, once again, I don't think either crowd, if you're the crowd, you know, that says, well, we, you know, Will Hall was the kind of guy we needed, or we need a young guy that's never heard of Hattiesburg or been to Mississippi like Brendan Marion. I don't think either side really got that, but it worked out for the best. I mean, it was just best case scenario. You know, I think the next hire, assuming Coach Huff is successful, maybe he moves on, maybe he doesn't, but that next hire, I think you're kind of looking at maybe more of like an experimental, or maybe you just keep it in-house and you go with Blake Anderson and you make the hire you should have made back in 2012.
That's where I was going next. Was there a method, whether Jeremy McClain would admit it or not, the method to the madness of bringing in, and I'm not saying madness that it's a bad idea, you know, because he is an experienced head coach. He knows Southern Miss. He's put together some prolific offenses. The fact that he would be next in line if Coach Huff were to move on in 2 or 3 years, you'd already have Blake Anderson there ready to roll.
Yeah, and like I said, you don't want to get too far ahead. We haven't played a game yet. We don't know what this is going to look like. You know, we don't, I mean, we think we know, but we really don't know the state of the program that he took over. I don't know how many guys he's kept. I've heard it's, you know, about 24 players. I don't know if that's true, but, you know, just all things considered, he's won the Sun Belt once and, you know, he's got a huge core group of guys coming. You would think we're going to be in contention. So hypothetically, if that happened, I would think he would get heavy consideration. If I'm in Jeremy's shoes, I would probably still conduct a search. You want to be thorough. You know, you don't want to miss out on a Charles Huff type of hire because you did the easy, convenient thing. That's not to say that Blake Anderson wouldn't be worthy of the title. I just think in the interest of, you know, being thorough, you interview good candidates and then you make the final decision based on that. But I do think if that were to happen in this time next year or this time 2 years from now, Coach Huff has moved on, I think, you know, Blake Anderson is probably the early favorite to get it.
You were at the basketball game last Saturday where Southern Miss opened up the Sun Belt Conference with a 2-point win over Marshall. At halftime, Coach Huff was introduced. He introduced the players at that time who already committed or were already officially Golden Eagles. But I found it very interesting that the last person he introduced, and kind of a special introduction, was Braylon Braxton. How he introduced, and I'm paraphrasing here, not exactly, but your starting quarterback at Southern Miss. I found that choice of verbiage kind of interesting. Because Will Hall in his 4 years just had difficulty ever finding a quarterback. Did I read too much into that, Reagan?
I mean, I don't think it was like some sort of shot or anything like that. I mean, it's just, you know, he's got his guy. He just won a conference championship with him. We're not kidding anybody if we say, well, we got to see how camp goes and all that, you know, unless he just landed some absurdly talented quarterback transfer. I just think it's the circumstances. I think when you win a conference championship with a guy and then he follows you to your next job, you're going to probably make him your starter.
If you're a John White now, for example, what do you do? Now, I'm not asking you to speak for John White. I'm saying if you were John White, what are some factors that you take into consideration?
Well, if he's hanging around and he's not hitting the portal, I would assume his plan is to probably learn from the guy ahead of him. I think we only have 1 year with Braxton. So, you kind of wait your turn and learn from the guy who's, you know, a great example of success in your conference. And then you give it your best shot for next year to start. That'll be his third year with the program. I think this is his second year. So you think third year in the program, he's kind of primed and ready as he's going to be the starter.
Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. Charles Huff, by the way, driving a Genesis SUV. Visit their all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg while you're out driving around the holiday season. Also, a shout out to Mobay Beignet Company. Great place to start your day with kids in town or maybe some relatives in town. Have a nice relaxing conversation. Hot or cold coffees and freshly made beignets every day. 2902 Hardy Street, Mobay Beignet Company. Kelly Sander along with Reagan Grant as we shift gears to talk a little bit about basketball. The Golden Eagles, a 66-64 win over Marshall. They are 1-0 in conference play. They've got a non-conference game with William Carey coming up on Monday night. That'll be December 30th. I don't want to turn the page too quickly. December 30th. And then they kind of get into, you know, conference play for earnest then when it really counts. When we come back, we're going to break down the standings in the Sun Belt. And we'll tell you about a former Southern Miss defensive coordinator that is on his way somewhere else. That and more stuff with news and notes as the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent, primary, and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Special thanks to Greg Glass, one of the co-founders of Fanstake.com. You can hear his conversation that we had with him a little bit earlier on in this program by going and downloading the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and YouTube. And actually, my phone, one of these fancy ones, the smartphones now, I get a little ding go off when it's downloaded, so that if anybody, you know, wants to hear it, usually about a half an hour after this show is over, you can listen to it if you can't listen to it live. Also, a shout out to Indibay Spring Water, Mississippi owned and operated. Indibay Spring Water is from a natural spring in Stone County down by Wiggins. Premium water with unmatched purity. We're glad to have Indibay with us, available at Corner Market and certain Walmarts. Give them a try. Indibay Spring Water. News and notes. Former Southern Miss co-defensive coordinator Austin Armstrong, or no, he was the offensive coordinator at Southern Miss and defensive coordinator at Southern Miss, who was at Florida, leaving to join the staff at the University of Houston in the Big 12, which is coached by Willie Fritz, who used to be at Tulane. The coaching fraternity, man, is such a tight-knit group. They just kind of go from one school to another. So Austin Armstrong leaving Florida and heading to the University of Houston. And, you know, Reagan, there was some talk that maybe that his name might pop up in the head coaching search. But I guess when everything was said and done, he wasn't anywhere even in the discussion. So I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of a weird year for him down there in Florida. You know, they kind of got off to a rough start. And then I think late in the season that defense got hot. I think they gave up 17 points or less in the last three games, something like that. So, you know, I've been told they had kind of a senior-heavy defense. Maybe he kind of saw that, hey, we're going to be looking to rebuild and all that stuff. And, you know, with Napier kind of being on the hot seat for a while there before they announced they were going to keep him, maybe he had already decided, I'm going to make a move. But you got to think in a few years, Austin's name will start popping up for some head coach jobs.
And as soon as, and still as young as he is, man, he's, you would think by all means he's got a great future ahead of him. Other college football tonight, dealing with Sun Belt teams. Arkansas State is one of the two Sun Belt teams that has not played its bowl game yet. They will take on the Bowling Green Falcons tonight at the 68 Ventures Bowl. And then Saturday will be the last Sun Belt team to play. It'll be Louisiana taking on TCU at the New Mexico Bowl. Louisiana, the conference champion. And really, a few people might have thought that Louisiana was going to be in the mix, but by and large, Louisiana kind of a surprise choice this year to win a Sun Belt Conference. And Michael DeSormo, the head coach, got a nice big extension because of that. And as I guess in the coaching business, that's the way it works. You win the championship, you get that extension. So Louisiana versus TCU in the New Mexico Bowl on Saturday. Looking at Sun Belt Conference basketball standings, Arkansas State leading the way with a 10-3 overall record, 1-0 in the conference. And I was blown away by what Arkansas State did at UAB a couple Saturdays ago. They were down at half like 42-19, something like that. And you thought this is going to be a blowout. And they come back and win it in overtime. Arkansas State, this is a very good basketball team right now. They lead the way 10-3, 1-0 in the conference. South Al is 8-4 right now. They are also 1-0. Texas State, 8-4, 1-0. Troy, 8-4, 1-0 in the conference. And then after those four teams, Reagan, it's like, overall records kind of fall off the table. Of course, the Eagles are 1-0, but they're there at what, 5-7,
yeah,
something like that. And then other teams, you know, with losing records. But as Jay Ladner has pointed out, he wanted to play those tough teams so that in the long run it would help them out. From what you saw Saturday, it looks like though that if they can figure out, what I mean by figure out, the other teams can figure out a way to contain Denaje Harris, it's going to be tough for the Eagles because Kobe Montgomery, they've been double-teaming. They know that he gets hot, he can be a problem. But right now, pretty much the only guy to run the point on a consistent basis is Neftali Alvarez. So Denaje Harris has been the most consistent player so far. If teams can shut him down or contain him, it could be bad news for the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, you like to see kind of three guys that can make a big impact. Like you said, Kobe can get hot. I'd said it probably 100 times at the game. Feed the ball to Kobe, let him get hot. I think we could have run away with that game if he had found that 3-point.
But Marshall saw that too.
Of course, yeah. So it's kind of like, well, you get those two guys down and, you know, who's next? And, you know, you got Alvarez out there, but he's more of a playmaker. He's not going to hit a lot of threes for you or anything like that, but he's going to get the ball to the guys that need to get it. Yeah, someone's going to have to step up. You know, I don't know what is going on with Curbelo, but someone's going to have to step up and really be able to take that role as the go-to guy when those two guys are shut down. I think Kobe was double-teamed most of that second half.
And the big guys, Lab Yat, only played minimal minutes the game prior to that. I don't think he played at all against Marshall. Mm-hmm. I don't think he got in at all. So with them being smaller, you would expect, I would expect Nefta to start penetrating more in the lane, you know, try to draw some fouls, something like that. But
they'll figure it out.
Yeah, they will indeed. Tomorrow on the program, our full hour with football coach Steve Buckley. It's going to be a great, candid conversation that you're not going to want to miss. We're glad that you joined us on this December 26th edition of the Eagle Hour. We'll be back again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. For Reagan Grant and producer engineer Jeremy Graves, I'm Kelly Sander. As always, Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.